Mr. Armstrong would start many, many sermons by asking, why are you here? You know, some people that I speak to, he's been gone for such a long time, they don't even remember Mr. Armstrong. It's kind of strange. But it, you guys, I can tell by the gray hair, probably remember Mr. Armstrong and him saying that many times. Why are you here? And I remember the answers, because it's not always the same answer. Because he would answer back, you're here to become leaders. It all focused in the same area. But sometimes he would say, you're here to be leaders, to become leaders in the kingdom of God. Other times he would say, you're to become kings and priests in the world tomorrow. Other times he would say, we will be judges in the world tomorrow. But you were called for a purpose. I remember he would thunder that, bang on the lectern. You were called for a purpose, not just to fill a chair. You were called for a reason. There's a plan that's being worked out here below, he would say. Revelation 1 verse 6, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to reference that scripture. Verse 6, it says that he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So there is a reason why we're called. Revelation 5:10, another one that I'll just reference, it says, we'll reign on the earth when Christ returns. So what are we doing personally to prepare for that time period? Because there's going to be a lot of things on our shoulders. We're not going to suddenly jump to brilliance, although we'll be spirit and we'll have 100% of our mind, 100% of God's mind. But we need to learn now how to do things, to develop the character that we need, that will take us into that position of rulership. And it's very important to develop the character that's built on a proper foundation. Let's begin by looking over in 1 Corinthians 3. A scripture that we read frequently when we talk about laying a good foundation. And beginning in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let us each take heed how you build on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's the first stone. That's the main foundation that we should focus on. And then we build on that, as the Bible says. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or on the other hand, wood, hay, or straw, each work, as it says in verse 13, will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. Verse 14 goes on to say, if anyone's work, which he had built on it, endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, they'll suffer loss, but he'll be saved. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So we're told here that we need to build on a foundation with things that will last. They won't be burned up by trials to come. And one of the characteristics I want to concentrate on today that we need to build is the ability to judge. To judge. So how do we make important decisions when we have to go forward and judge an issue. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6. A few pages from where we were. 1 Corinthians 6. And Paul is writing to them, and he says in verse 2, he says, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you," you know, we have that position. If the world's going to be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Paul's asking that question. It's a rhetorical question. No, you're not unworthy. You should be practicing this trait. And he says in verse 3, "Don't you know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain in this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge?" Why do you go to other people? You can make those decisions. You can judge an issue. And he says in verse 5, "I think it's to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one, who'll be able to judge between his brethren?" That's an interesting question, I think. A very interesting question. Because one of the things that we're called to do in the kingdom of God is to judge. To be judges. And Paul's saying here that we should have the ability, we should develop that ability to judge righteous judgment. To judge an issue, to look at the facts, and to come to the correct conclusions. Now, the topic of judging would be a whole sermon in itself, but I want to concentrate on one aspect of judging, just one little aspect of judging. And the Bible refers to it as hearing the whole matter. So that's the title of the sermon, at hearing the whole matter. And I've been thinking about that lately, not because of something that I perceive that's odd in the church or anything, but because of a few things that happen at work, actually, where some of my peers, one of my peers in particular, I had heard something and I thought it was this way, and it wasn't that way at all. I didn't judge right. I didn't do a good job. That's what I want to talk about. Hear the whole matter. Hear the whole matter. Now, we know in Matthew 18 there's a principle about conflict resolution between brethren. And we don't need to turn there. I just want to reference that to get you thinking about that. Because in verse 15 of Matthew 18, it says, "If another believer sins against you, go privately to that person, point out the offense." That's what it says. If the other person listens and confesses, you've won that person back, verse 15 tells us. But verse 16 says, "If you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you. Go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses." You know, it's the right thing to do, but it's not the easy thing to do. Confrontation is not my favorite thing. I don't like confrontation. If you're like me, you don't like confrontation. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. We have a scripture here that says, go to your brother. You know, you're liable to lose a friend, but maybe not. As it says here in verse 15, you can win that person back. Instead of having that bad thought about them forever. But how many times have you heard one side of the story and you've jumped to a conclusion? You developed an opinion based on incomplete facts. And maybe it's affected how you've thought about that person for years. For years. And then somewhere down the road, you talk to them or you hear the other side of the story. And it's not at all what you thought. It's not at all what you thought. You've been wrong about that person for all that time. Am I the only one that's done that? Maybe you have too. I know I've done it. But you know, there are biblical principles that we can look at to hear the whole matter for judging an issue. Let's turn over to Acts 17. Acts 17. And this is the famous story of the folks at Berea. And we know the story. And I like how the New Living Bible has these verses, so I want to read out of the New Living Bible. But Paul goes into Thessalonica, goes into the synagogue, and in verse 5 we see this. But the Jewish leaders were jealous, in breaking into the story. And this is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders in the synagogue, because the people were starting to believe Paul and the others that he brought with him, what they were teaching. But the Jewish leaders were jealous, so they gathered some worthless fellows, I like the way that's put, from the streets to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so they can drag them out to the crowd. Verse 6, not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have turned the rest of the world upside down, and now they're here disturbing our city, they shouted. And Jason has let them into his home. They're all guilty of treason against Caesar, for they profess allegiance to another king, Jesus. So they're trumping up these charges. Continuing in verse 8, the people of the city as well, as the city officials, were thrown in turmoil by these reports. They've just heard one side of the story, though. But the officials released Jason and the other believers after they posted bail. Verse 10, that very night the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea, and when they arrived there, they went to the synagogue. They did the same thing. And in verse 11, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. As a result, verse 12 says, many Jews believed, as did some of the prominent Greek women and many men. And then verse 13, but when some Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there to stir up trouble. So the story here is the people in Berea were more noble, as it says, more open-minded, because they listened without getting upset. They checked the facts. They checked to see what they were teaching. And they found it to be true, as it says here, that many of them believed. In verse 12 it says that. But they didn't jump to conclusions immediately. And that's how we should handle that as well. We shouldn't jump to conclusions. Another example is found over in 1 Kings 3. Another very famous example of the two women with the dead baby. 1 Kings 3. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation as well. Verse 16. Because this person heard both sides of the story. That's the point I wanted to bring out. Verse 16 of 1 Kings 3 starts and says, sometimes later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. Verse 17, please, my lord, one of them began, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, she also had a baby. We were alone. There were only the two of us in the house. In verse 19, but her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep and laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep with her. And in the morning, verse 21 says, when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely, in the morning light, I saw it wasn't my son at all. In verse 22, the other woman interrupted and said, it certainly was your son, the living child's mine. No, the first woman said, the dead one's yours, the living one's mine. And so they argued back and forth before the king. And in verse 23, the king said, let me get the facts straight. I like that. I like the way that's put. The king says, let me get this straight. Both of you are claiming the child's yours? And each one says that the child, the dead child, belongs to the other. And I won't read the rest of the story. You know how that story ends. Because Solomon made a very wise decision. But based on listening to both sides of the story, listening to the facts. And, you know, we don't do that sometimes. Sometimes we don't do that. No, I won't put you into it. Sometimes I don't do that. I hear something, and I thought, oh, that's terrible. Shouldn't make that judgment. Shouldn't make that judgment until you find out the other side of the story. So what would have happened here if only one mother came? What conclusion would he have come to? But using wisdom, he listened to both sides and came to the right conclusion. Proverbs 18:13 is very often quoted. Let's turn there and take a look at that one scripture. I've got actually a couple of scriptures there. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. It says that he that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. The New Living Bible has that verse translated this. What a shame. What a folly to give advice before listening to the facts. Verse 15 in the New Living Translation. Intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, they look for them. I think that's interesting. Verse 17, the New King James Version says, the first one to plead his cause seems right, until his neighbor comes and examines him. Isn't that true? You hear one side of the story, and you come to a partial conclusion, maybe, but then you hear the other side and realize, oh, there's more to the story. The New Living Bible says in verse 17, any story sounds true until someone sets the record straight. I think that's very interesting translation. And it's very true. Very true. We should keep these scriptures in mind when we have judgments to make along those lines. The examples here are very clear. Before making a judgment, get all the facts, get all the information, hear both sides of the story before making an informed decision instead of just jumping to a conclusion. We're in training. We're supposed to learn these things. And with God's help, we can learn these things, and we can judge from a matter of right perspective, as the scriptures make clear.